You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Yes, hello, welcome along to the midweek edition of the Punt Podcast from William Hill. We've got international football still going on this week. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday evening's matches involving England and Northern Ireland. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me to look ahead to the matches is Tom Kerwin. How are you, Tom?
I'm very well, Mark. How are you?
Yes, not so bad, thank you. Not so bad at all. As far as international friendlies go and England friendlies go, I don't usually want to watch them all that much, but England-Spain has a nice look to it, doesn't it?
Well, actually, I suppose in recent years, the friendly matches that England have had have probably had a little bit more attraction than the qualifying games, only because we kind of know the result of the qualification games before they even take place, and the mismatch between the sides, whereas... You know, some of the friendly matches England have had have been, you know, against higher profile opposition. So at least there has been that to get a little bit excited about. But of course, the caveat to that is the fact that it's still a friendly game. And kind of what does it really matter in the grand scheme of things? Suppose for this one, you know, you're playing against still a top side in Spain, still one of the teams you'd class as a benchmark in international football, despite, you know, that they're showing in the Euros. But I think for England and Gareth Southgate, I just feel there are more pressing concerns. In particular, when will he be announced as getting this job? You'd feel he's done enough now, but I do wonder about how this has maybe overshadowed the preparation for the game. He's also got injuries to key players. So England are going to be weak, and no doubt Spain will be too. So I don't know. I think in some respects we could be in for a decent game, but there is another side of it where you think, well, what does it really matter? This is a, you know, an exercise really in filling out Wembley and you know, bringing some money in.
National pride, that's what it is.
That's it, of course, yeah, I forgot that. But it is, well, you know, I suppose in some respects, you know, if Gareth Southgate can't, the only way he can win in this game is by winning the game. And I know that sounds like a flippant thing to say, but it's probably right. I mean, if he pulls off a victory here, however it comes, then I think people are going to have to sit up and take notice of what he's doing, albeit it's only one game. And, you know, we played Scotland on Friday and, you know, got the victory. But it wasn't convincing, was it? We're not going to see this new dawn, this new age of English football. It very much is what it is. But I just think, you know, Gareth Southgate, it's maybe a free pass in some respects, but in others, he wants to try and set his marker down. But I think that's going to be difficult with the, you know, the injuries and the changes to the team.
Yeah, this is, of course, Gareth Southgate's last game as interim manager at England. It's yet to be seen whether he'll get the job. I think he's been quoted kind of as saying, if you want me, come and get me kind of idea. And his record is pretty good since he took over as England coach. I suppose the one thing he's got in his favour as well is that he's been part of good England teams in recent years, which this necessarily might not necessarily be, but he's been part of that passion, that Euro 96 kind of feel-good factor around the England side.
Yeah, but, you know, I think people might want him to bring a little bit of that back, but I think the game has moved on. And, you know, I think the likes of the players that he played with in that team, and I'm thinking of Paul Gascoigne, Paul Lynch, Stuart Pearce, Tony Adams, for example, you know, those kind of characters have gone out of the game, and you kind of look down this England squad now, especially with the players that are gone, and you think it is devoid of that. Those days are gone, really, I think, of that kind of team, that kind of team spirit. But he can start to build something. He just needs the tools at his disposal. So I have a little bit of sympathy for England managers at the moment, because I don't think we're blessed with a great squad. We're certainly not blessed with many world-class players. But like I say, I don't really know how he's supposed to approach this friendly. I think he wants to get through it, not be disgraced, and try and show an improved performance. The problem we've had, Mark, with England is we just don't have much faith in the performances. Never mind the results. People can quote qualification wins and everything else at me as long as they want. But we've just not had performances that have got us off the edge of our seat. If anything, most people I spoke to on Friday had drifted off by 9:10. And that's no, you know, the players have done well. They did what they needed to do, which was win the game in, you know, in an efficient manner. But, you know, I think we want a little bit more. We want to be entertained.
Let's look at the betting for the game then. England 9-5, the draw 21-10, Spain are 29-20. A bit of team news before we get stuck into the markets proper. Rooney won't start the game. He's got a minor knock. Apparently the plan wasn't to start him anyway. So Jordan Henderson is going to skip to the side in his absence. It's yet to be seen whether we'll see Wayne Rooney from the bench. Bit of news for Spain as well. Diego Costa isn't going to play for them. So there will be a few shuffles around in the lineups, Tom, and two key players really for both sides. I know Costa's maybe not quite done it at international level as he does at club level, but he's still a goal scorer. And Wayne Rooney, obviously, the England skipper, missing.
Yeah, and he'd done well, Wayne Rooney, hadn't he, in that sort of number 10 position on Friday. And, you know, Diego Costa has, you know, he has been scoring goals. Vitolo as well has been a big threat for Spain so far in the qualification, but they have some fantastic players to just slot into those positions. I don't think it severely weakens Spain. I don't think that you know, missing Wayne Rooney severely weakens England in some respects, but with no Harry Kane there as well, Sturridge, I would suspect Gareth Southgate will be getting a phone call from Jurgen Klopp, even though Sturridge might not start in the next game for Liverpool, probably won't. You know, if he plays sort of, you know, too many minutes for England, particularly in a friendly game. So there's a lot of talk about Jamie Vardy probably stepping up to the plate tonight. And that's where England are at right now. They're in a position where they just don't have the kind of luxuries that other countries do. They can rest players that are in form and bring in almost like-for-like strikers. Now, Jamie Vardy had a fantastic 12 months, but he's not been scoring at all this season. So you're kind of bringing him in to lead your line against Spain, then it doesn't kind of hold that same weight as maybe a Harry Kane does, and Harry Kane's not even on that sort of world-class level. There's a few ways of kind of looking at this match, and there's various stats that I think people will want to look at and throw whichever way they kind of want to. One of them is, of course, that England at Wembley have been incredibly impressive. I mean, the record is second to none in sort of world football. I think they've won 7 and lost just one of their last 8 friendly games on home soil. So, you know, it tends to be that is good. They've lost just 2 of the last 15 friendly matches in all competitions, but their record against Spain is not good. And that's where I see Spain maybe just having the edge over an England setup that is a little bit dishevelled, a little bit disorganised at the moment. They've lost 4 of the last 5 international games with Spain. They've won just once. That was back in 2011. They beat Spain 1-0 at Wembley. I don't know if you remember this game, Mark, but I had a little look back just to see what the team was, just to see how the team then compared with the team now.
Yeah.
It didn't compare very well, I'll be honest. Frank Lampard scored the goal, but Darren Bent was up front. Scott Parker was in midfield. Julian Lescott was playing for England. I kind of expected to look at the team and think, wow, look at those players we had back then. Nope. It didn't inspire me that much. So I don't know how much better things were 5 years ago. But England got that victory. But ultimately, their recent run against Spain is not good.
Yeah, perhaps that's a good sign for Tuesday evening, because the Spain side that night was relatively strong. They had the likes of David Villa in there, David Silva, Xabi Alonso. Good players in that Spain team, and England still managed to beat them with a weakened side.
Yeah, and for all we talk about England, you know, we talk about Spain. You know, so a new man at the helm there. He's had 4 wins and 1 draw. The qualification campaign has gone exactly to plan for them, pretty smoothly. You know, they've been to Italy, they've been to Albania, and they've got results. They've been to Belgium recently in a friendly match as well, and beaten the Belgians 2-0. I don't think this is, you know, nowhere near that Spanish side of 8-10 years ago. That is without a question. But Spain still possess a lot of players that, like we said, will be big threats. The thing for England, though, and the reason I'm heading towards a few goals in this game: Ramos, Piqué, Jordi Alba, all missing from the team. That does weaken Spain. You know, again, they've still got, you know, good strength and depth there, but I do think it possibly leaves it open for England to cause Spain a few problems at the back. And it's also, Mike, you've got to take into account what these players' approaches are. I mean, Real Madrid play Atletico Madrid this weekend, so you've got all those players that are involved in the Spain squad that will be involved in that game. And whatever they try and do and say anything to the contrary, they're going to be thinking about that match. It's a huge game. And of course, you've got the Premier League returning this weekend. So, you know, although they're going to be England players, maybe Wilshere might get a little opportunity against Spain. There are going to be players there that will want to impress Gareth Southgate. But ultimately, I do think a lot of them will have one eye on some big fixtures this weekend.
All right, let's summarise a little bit then. Who wins the game? What would you back in the 90 minutes market?
I've got to back Spain here. I think Spain's recent record against England is strong, and I think they're a good price here at 29-20. I think they're a fair bet, particularly when you look at England at 9-5. I think Spain, I believe, represent the value, but I'm going to go for Spain and both teams to score here at 9-2. I do think that Spain are going to be weakened at the back. England do concede goals, but they have been scoring at Wembley. You know, the record of getting goals on home soil is second to none, despite maybe a lack of serious firepower up front. So I think we're in for quite an open match. Ultimately, it's a friendly match, and the result doesn't really matter. But I don't think Spain Spain will approach it that way. And I think they'll have just enough to get over the line. I think we could be looking at 2-1, maybe even 3-1 to the Spanish side. But Spain and both teams to score will be my play at 9-2.
All right, Spain to win, both teams to score. Best bet for Tom. Just going to reel off these enhanced odds offers as well. Daniel Sturridge to score in an England win. That was 4-1, that's 5-1. Raheem Sterling to score, England to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1 is now 11-1, having been 10-1. On the Spain side of things, Alvaro Morata to score and Spain to win. That was 14-5, that's now 4-1. And Nolito to score in a 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1 Spain victory is 8-1, having been 15-2.
Another one just to point out, if Gary Cahill starts, I mean, obviously England scored all their goals from crosses and headers on Friday night, but Cahill to score a header is available in the scorer match special as well at 18-1. Don't mind that at all.
Good stuff. So that's the England game. Let's move on to another of Tuesday evening's matches. Northern Ireland take on Croatia. Northern Ireland 11-4, the draw 21-10, and Croatia are even money. Northern Ireland, bit hit and miss at the moment, although they did beat Azerbaijan pretty convincingly in their World Cup qualifier on Friday. Croatia, going okay at the moment. They won the last three, four unbeaten. They looked a decent side at times during the Euros as well. So this will be a stern test for Northern Ireland.
Yeah, it will be, Mark. They were one of my fancies to go a long, long way in the Euros. I thought they'd done all right. You actually look at their record, you know, apart from sort of extra time defeats, penalties and everything else, they're undefeated in the last 15 matches in normal time. So they've won four of their last five games away from home. Their qualification campaign has started extremely well. I think it's quite clever from Michael O'Neill to probably schedule or pick this game, which is what he's done. I think it's an opportunity here to face one of the best sides in Europe, I think, at the moment. Certainly one of the toughest sides to sort of beat. And I think to do it on home soil, you know, he maybe could have, given Northern Ireland's stock rising over the last year, 18 months, he maybe could have got a more high-profile country to come. But when you look down at Croatia personnel list, I mean, we're talking about world stars here playing at some of the biggest clubs in the world. They are a serious outfit, and I think Northern Ireland are going to find this very, very tough. I think, he'll be using this, Michael O'Neill. He's a very astute and analytical coach, as I suppose all coaches are to a point, but I think he has a game plan for every single match, and I was so impressed with them blowing away Azerbaijan on Friday night, because when we were previewing the game on the punt, I thought it'd be a real tough night for Northern Ireland. I thought they maybe could have squeaked it, or it could have been a draw, but I did not see a 4-0 result coming, particularly given Azerbaijan's form. So, look, at home, Northern Ireland are very good, but I think they've purposely made sure they've got a real tough test here. And I think, again, Croatia probably represent a little bit of the value here. I don't think they'll want to be beaten by anybody. And as I say, the list of players, I mean, you can kind of reel them all off, but there is some absolute superstars there. And Northern Ireland are weakened. They've got some injuries to some key players. And I heard Michael O'Neill today say, look, I'm going to give an opportunity to some other players who have not really had much of a look in. So I think if Northern Ireland weaken their team in any way, I think Croatia are going to be too strong for them. But I think it's going to be a tough match. But I think even money for Croatia is a decent one. You know, I know these friendly markets can sometimes worry punters, and you might look at it and think, well, I don't know exactly what's going to happen, and it might well be team news dependent, but this Croatia side are a serious, serious team, and I think Northern Ireland, for once in a long time, they can play this game without the pressure of having to get a result.
Yeah, I do agree with you there as well. I think Croatia do look pretty tempting at even money, given their recent performances. You mentioned the Northern Ireland performance against Azerbaijan, by the way. That was a bit of a bolt out of the blue, because Azerbaijan defensively had been very, very solid to that point. Everyone kind of was expecting a real tight game, as you mentioned. So for them to score four, that's good for Northern Ireland. And their home form at Windsor Park is pretty damn good as well. I think you have to go all the way back to October 2014. In fact, earlier than that. It's September 2013 for their last home defeat, which is phenomenal.
It is, and it's still as intimidating a place for opposition sides to go as it's always been. Even though they've changed the stadium and they've adapted it a little bit and made it a little bit more friendly, I think, for the supporters that are going to the games, but ultimately it's still kept that atmosphere. And look, Northern Ireland are a brilliant international outfit for the pool of players that he has at his disposal. They are incredibly well drilled. They approach every single match with a unique game plan that seems to always produce the goods. And again, you know, he does it, Michael O'Neill. You know, he just blows, I suppose, pundits and bookmakers and everything out of the water with that kind of performance that he got from his side. You know, particularly, I mean, Azerbaijan, as you said, they hadn't conceded a goal in a qualification campaign up to that point, and their results have been incredibly impressive. But again, I kind of try and put myself in the mindset of both coaches and look at both camps and say, well, what's the approach to this game? You know, Northern Ireland won't want to be embarrassed on home soil, and indeed they won't be. This will be a tight game. You know, I believe that Croatia can win it because I think they've got too much quality, but I don't think for any second Croatia are going to go there and win 3-0. Far from it, because there's too much pride at stake for these Northern Ireland players. And there's a big opportunity for some players who've basically, I mean, he's pretty much used a pool of 18, 20 players, throughout the qualification for the Euros. And, you know, there's an opportunity for one or two that have maybe been desperately knocking on the door, trying to get in there at some point. This could be their opportunity to try and impress. But I think it's Croatia, a big, strong side with a huge amounts of quality. But again, I would probably, with a little bit of caution, look at the team news. I mean, I was reading that Luka Modric is expected to play You know, and if you're throwing someone like him in the team, I mean, he can single-handedly control the entire tempo of this game. So it's going to be a good... I just think that Michael O'Neill's using this one as a lesson for his players to try and teach them a few things. And in that respect, I think it's going to be difficult for them to probably learn that lesson and get a result. But they keep surprising people, don't they?
They do. But then again, if Croatia play that those players in midfield, you mentioned Modric there, if they've got Rakitic and Perisic in there as well, it's one of the strongest midfield combinations around. I just want to talk to you about a few of potential goal scorers here and some of the headline offers as well. Mario Mandzukic to score in a Croatia win is 3-1. That was 5-2. That could be quite appealing because he's been in goal scoring form for the national side. Ivan Rakitic to score Croatia to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1. That was 7-1. That's now 8-1. And if anybody fancies Northern Ireland, Kyle Lafferty to score and Northern Ireland to win, that was 11-2. That's now 7-1. And Chris Brunt to score Northern Ireland to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1 is now 20-1, having been 18-1. Not part of the headline offer there, but I just want to get your thoughts as well. Perhaps maybe we'll see Will Grigg. He's been on fire for a long time and doesn't get in the national side. Perhaps he will this time.
I think he's probably the most famous player in the world that nobody's seen play. Because you know what I mean? On the international stage, everyone knows this guy's name. And you know, I think in the Euros, just everyone was expecting him to be the superstar for Northern Ireland. He didn't get a look in, did he? So, yeah, like I said, that might be where the opportunities lie for a few of the players. You know, Lafferty's such an absolute linchpin for them that I think he'll want to play in this game. And he's still not getting a look in at Norwich, you know, his club side. He's still struggling to sort of get football. So maybe it's not so much an issue for him maybe burning out. Far from it. He probably needs a few match minutes. But, you know, there will be an opportunity for other players. Again, I think probably we'll see set pieces being a key factor for Northern Ireland in this game. You know, we've seen it on Friday night, some great deliveries into the penalty area. I mean, Chris Brunt, a huge, huge boost for Northern Ireland to get him back because his left foot is right up there, you know, in terms of delivering balls with pinpoint accuracy. And people like Gareth McCauley and others, you know, that's where they might be a threat. But like I said, they're playing into Croatia side who physically can probably match it and will want a lot of the ball. So it's just a different opportunity for Northern Ireland. And as far as those goal scorers is concerned, I mean, Brozovic got the two goals. Marcelo Brozovic, the midfielder for Croatia, he got the two goals as they beat Iceland at the weekend, Croatia. And any team that beats Iceland is obviously a very, very good side. And we've got to give them absolute full respect. But he's 5-2 any time. But, you know, Mandzukic has been already flying in the goals. He got four in one game during the qualifying campaign already. So he's absolutely flying. So I think the team news will be interesting, though, particularly from Croatia's point of view. And I would expect... Mark, certainly from what I've read about, you know, where Croatia might be going with their team for this one, I would expect that even money price to probably shorten as we approach kickoff once the team news is out there.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised either. In summary then, you think Croatia beat Northern Ireland and you think Spain beat England. So bad Tuesday night for the home nations.
Yeah, not yeah. Unfortunately, I think that's the way it's going. But they're only friendly games, Mark. So, you know, there's no need to get disheartened by it. But I do think we could be in goals. You know, if you want a big boost on those, I can see both teams scoring in all four matches, in both games. Sorry, I can. And the Croatia price there's about 4-1 for them to win the game and both teams to score. I do think there will be an element of the games being quite open. And also, just one thing you've got to bear in mind. All four countries that are playing in these games are in very good positions as far as the qualification campaign is concerned. So there are no jitters from that point of view. Do you know what I mean? There's not like either, you know, sides going into these games thinking, well, we've got to try this out, or we desperately need to turn around our form. All the teams are in very, very good form, and that in theory should equate to some goals and some good games.
Yeah, should be entertaining. For anybody who wants to put the double together, by the way, Croatia to beat Northern Ireland and both teams to score in that game, Spain to beat England and both teams to score there, it's rather generous as well, 26.5-1.
Nice.
Yeah, which could be nice if that lands. Thank you very much, Tom. Been a pleasure speaking to you. Good luck. Thank you. And enjoy it on Tuesday night.
Will do. Thanks, Mark.
So there you go, the thoughts of Tom Kerwin on Tuesday night's football. We'll be back with the punt at the weekend as well. Proper football is back. We've got Premier League action. Derek McGovern will also be joining Tom, and Dave Kellen will be back in this seat. Good luck if you're having a bet on Tuesday evening, and rejoin us again on the punt on Friday.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.